What's going on, guys? This is Dave Sharp. Welcome to Wake Up Legendary. I don't know about you, but I need to wake up legendary this morning because I woke up kind of average, and that's not okay. But I got a guy this morning who's going to help us wake up legendary, that's for sure. And I know him, talked to him before. So here's yet another person who, you know, you can go back in time and you can see, you know, what they had to say before and kind of track their progress. And yeah, so RJ, welcome to the show, brother, again.
Dave, thanks for having me back.
Hey, you're welcome, man. You do have your coffee. I have mine. My mug says, "What happens on the boat stays on the boat." They've adopted that phrase, I guess. So good for them.
And there's another really good one. I also sell merch on Amazon, and one of my shirts said, "I'm really sorry for what I said at the honey. I'm really sorry for what I said at the boat launch." You know. It's like chaos, you know, and it tests every marriage. So my wife and I, every time we go to launch this thing, because it's big, we're like, you know, this is going to be the best marriage test for us. And then we get through and we laugh about it, and there's always something that happens. But yeah.
Good for you that you have your wife out there and that you guys are, you know, working on your marriage together in that way.
Oh man, she's my rock. I'm not gonna lie. She's my rock. So
me too, man. I can relate to that. And I'm very grateful to have met a good person. You know, I've been listening to a lot of Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger tapes and yep. audios in very boring annual meetings. yesterday I watched about 2 or 3 hours of their 2022 annual meeting, and here it's just these two, you know, one's 91, one's 98, and they're just sitting there. Just in no script, same thing that we do here. No scripting, no nothing. They get up and they're, I don't know, sixth biggest company in the world or something. I mean, Berkshire owns a lot of Apple and a lot of Coca-Cola. And I mean, they're big, but they just get up on stage and just kind of talk and answer questions. But one thing that they say, both of them say, is that your life partner is a much bigger decision than any business decision that you'll ever make.
There's TikToks. In fact, I almost duetted a guy the other day that said exactly that. That decision, and I was married once with four, and without vilifying her in any way, I have two great kids out of that marriage. But boy, I'm telling you, it took me 10 years to, she stuck around, Jill, my wife, stuck around for 10 years for me. I just said, you know, when I make a mistake, I'm okay with that. I just don't make that same mistake again. And yeah. I'm as loyal as an old dog. None of those stuff. But she's finally like, it's been 10 years, man. Either just put a ring on this or lose it. And I'm like, well, okay. Yeah. So I had to learn from that, you know, that whole thing. The best decision I've ever made. So,
well, me marrying my wife was the best decision I ever made as well. And, you know, I think that for those of you out there who are like, you know, wanting your marriage or your relationship to improve, or you're wanting that perfect person, that soulmate, you're wondering when it's your turn to have somebody, there's a solution for you no matter what situation you're in.
Yes.
And that is raise your value. And that is keep your side of the street clean. And that is to focus 100% on you,
right?
Whether you are married or whether you are looking for your soulmate and you're single, because if you raise your value and if you focus exclusively on your side of the street, what does that mean? That means your business or your, while also not making people pay for you focusing on your business,
right?
Focus on, hey, one of the best things any man can do is sneak out of the house, okay, and go to therapy. That's another thing. You know what I mean? That's another thing.
I find, you know, it's like if I concentrate on what I bring to the relationship and how I can handle my end, I don't have a whole lot of control over it. Dave, you know how this is a great segue into what we're going to, you know, into this great business that we're in. I've been waiting my whole life to find affiliate marketing. I'm not kidding. It's like when that button clicks, it's like every box checked for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like what? I don't have to deal with customer service anymore. I don't have to, I just have to be super informative. And I've got to prove my point to people. Mm-hmm. I have to give them validity in their purchase and confidence. That's my job.
Yes.
To explain at 57 years old to your wife, I'm going to go on the internet and I'm going to go on TikTok. Yeah. The one where all the girls are dancing and stuff and
twerking.
I'm going to tell people about my life in little clips, and I'm going to segue it into the things that I believe in. And do you know what kind of wife it takes to go, oh, okay. I mean, because she knows I'm not going to drop the ball with my other stuff. She knows if let's say I had a really bad month or something, I have my contracting company. I just pick up another couple jobs. I'm not going to let what's important to me go away. This is my main focus, you know? But for a wife, that's the whole thing. With all due respect to my first wife, she didn't have that vision, no matter how, even if it didn't affect her financially, she couldn't handle the non-predictability of it.
And well, you're also a different person now though, aren't you? Would you agree that you're a different person today than you were in that first marriage?
Oh, I'm 360. Yeah. I mean, it's because I'm allowed to be myself, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's a beautiful thing that happens, I think, when a man, and I can only speak for a man, let me just speak for a man. When a man takes care of his business and a wife or a partner can feel secure that you're not going to drop your other responsibilities if you're going to do this.
Yes.
That's what you just said. And I think no matter if your partner is a visionary or she's a non-visionary, like my wife is. My wife is not a entrepreneurial thinker. She's not none of that. She was happy at her job at a homeless shelter, brother. My wife was completely pissed at me when we would get in fights after she had quit that job, because I was like, quit your job and then, you know, come home. And, you know, and then she, you know, when I would be an asshole, she'd be like, I don't know why you asked me to quit my job. You know what I mean? but here's my point is that you said your wife knows that you're not going to drop the ball in the other things. And I think that if you're looking for your spouse's support, if you're looking to persuade and influence your spouse and get them on your team, number one, don't make you doing this business be something that she has to pay for or he has to pay for.
Goodness, yes.
Don't make it a burden to them.
Yep.
Because if now all of a sudden you've started this new business and you're never around, you're always edgy, you're snapping, leave me alone, all this kind of stuff. What do you think that in your family's mind that business is going to become?
Right.
Going to become a thing that's stealing my husband or stealing my dad.
Yep.
And it's going to be an evil thing. So here's the magic to building a business. And I didn't learn this until 10 years after I started the business. I did this dumb shit for a long time, but I thought that my business was so important and what I was doing, and just because I was making a lot of money personally, I made it my fit, you know, I'm always walking around on the phone in the house and all this shit, and I'm just dominating the space. But now what happens is my wife and I work together, but I don't even want my kids to know that I do the business because I don't want it to burden them. See, if something's in my life and I'm saying this is going to be my freedom, but it's a burden to everybody else, of course they're not going to support me and they're going to hate it.
Right.
And so I also have to learn how to grow myself up. I got to grow myself up. And if I'm going to do this thing that's not going to bring in immediate revenue, then don't go quitting your other shit and get in freaking your family out. I mean, I don't know how more plain and simple is that.
Well, men get stuck in this. I'm trying to be sensitive here. I got to learn not to be an old dog sometimes, because Dave,
like a curmudgeon. No, I am too. You should let it fly, because Charlie Munger does. He's 96 and he's just like, that's stupid. Say it how it is.
No, I totally do. But this is what I'll segue into my TikTok experience the last few days. You know, I've all of a sudden gotten a lot of traction. I've got several videos with multiple million views, and not the ones that I thought they were going to do millions, of course. I'm getting hundreds of new followers a day, sometimes thousands. And I get on yesterday and I set up my little studio here, dude. You'd love it. I got this giant big screen. It's like I can actually see because my eyes aren't that good. And so I don't have to wear my glasses. Like, I've got a 40-inch screen right here. And I can show, I can teach. I can say, hey, my whole thing is I welcome anybody on there to disprove me. I want you to go on. I want you to test everything I say, because when I got on here, a lot of people didn't tell me the truth, right? Mm-hmm. Well, when I say things, that gal, I know her name. Names aren't so great for me, but I know her every face. But the gal from, is it Peru or Brazil, that's so fantastic? And you had her.
Andrea.
She's just wonderful. Yeah, and she is. I said she was K-I-L-L-I-N-G it, meaning crushing it, right?
Yeah.
And I'm on this TikTok, man. I got this live going. People are just flooding in. Follows. People are sending me stuff on there I've never even heard of. I don't even know what that means. Like the ding, ding, ding and diamonds. And all of a sudden I'm in the middle of this thing, like roses.
Some old curmudgeon really just talking shit in TikTok. That's it. Bells and whistles are going off and shit.
Yeah. I'm just like, let's just relate, man. Let's get you out of this. Let's get you jacked out of this.
Yeah. 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 I hear you.
Idea of that your fear is going to protect you. Your fear will not protect you. Your fear will restrain you. Your fear is lying to you.
Yeah.
And only true if you believe it, right? If you believe you can't do something, I'm not going to talk you out of it, you know? So anyways, I'm just jazzing it up and I'm like, I finally get it. I'm finally in the vibe with this live thing. I'm going to do this three times a day because I'm like pennies from my next level with Legendary. I'm literally pennies, right? And so I want to educate people. I want to get to this next place. And all of a sudden it's just like, literally shut me off mid live. Like you're a bad person and you've done all these. And then they send me a list of things I could have possibly done. And with all due respect to them, I'm not going to sit here and just badmouth them. I want to be accurate and constructive here, but I've been working 7 months on this and now I'm becoming more omnipresent thanks to Matthew or actually Josh and you. I'm getting more and more, but my main account is still TikTok. And so I've never encountered anything where you're always in trouble and you have to prove your way out of trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The assumed guilt, you're already guilty. It's just, which they send you, it could be this this number of 1,000 things that you did. And I'm like, just tell me the thing that I did and I won't do it anymore.
You know? TikTok.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're in a massive, bro, we're in explosion mode right now. I mean, everybody, TikTok's in explosion mode. Everybody's in explosion mode. And they're just trying to keep up and figure out, you know, you got people on your live. I think the thing with us marketers is they're because the platform is being sensitive to people reporting stuff. I mean, ultimately that's what's happening. That's okay. Why if you get an account flagged, that's why it's getting flagged, because people are reporting it. And who knows what other technology, maybe once somebody reports it, they go and they scan all the words of the video and see if there was anything that was, you had spelled out K-I-L-L-I-N-G, right? Maybe that was a word I don't know. But I think for all of us, because these platforms are so sensitive, and because more than anything, I think that, you know, the masses of people do not respond well to motivation. They interpret motivation as somebody's trying to scam them, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're trying to say, it's okay, you can do it, because there's something, there's a catch. And that's what I would say 99% of people think, right? 1% of people is you and I. That's the people who respond to a message and are willing to, you know, maybe it's more than 1%, but are willing to give somebody a chance or to look at it, or we're open-minded to business opportunities or whatever. It's just a different personality type. So no, and have you all ever noticed, RJ, have you ever noticed that the accounts that are just meme accounts and there's no inspirational content at all, though they're just funny and they're humorous. And sometimes mm-hmm. they're a little bit negative. You know what I mean? They're almost self-deprecating and they're, you know, it's just these meme accounts. They just go crazy, right? And so I think the question is, you know, how can we introduce our message to the masses in a way that, you know, maybe they'll receive it a little bit more. And I don't know what that is for each person. It's all about volumes, right? So it's turning up the volume on maybe the humor, or turning up the volume on maybe, you know, on maybe pointing out the deficits of what you're doing, right? So you add a little balance and not just make it look like it's all great, right?
Right.
But it's about the levels of volume of your message and what do you need to turn up and what do you need to turn down to, you know, figure out this middle ground with your audience, you know, where you're not pleasing everybody, but you're also not triggering this response in people to where they're like, I don't believe it. You know, this is unbelievable. It must be a scam or something like that. And I'm not talking about you specifically, RJ. Who knows what happened in your situation? But I do think overall, when we start marketing, we want to go out there and convince everybody and try to change everybody and say, you know, oh, you guys got to just see this. And just, this is the best thing ever. And what you're doing is stupid. Just look 20 years into the road. And that can be sometimes, I think, a little jarring for people and hard for them to believe. And so I think that's another reason why I say that claims don't work. Big claims don't work. The masses don't believe them. But if you were to say, look, here's a way to make an extra $20 a day online. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The more we bring everything down to a more believable state, add a little bit of tone down the inspirational, motivational stuff, tune up the humor stuff, tune up the storytelling stuff. You know what I mean? I mean,
well, you want them to be able to digest it, right?
Yes. Yes.
They're what we forget and is, or what I have forgotten in the past, you know. They're coming. So many people are coming into this for the first time, right? And so we're cumulative. You and I are already, well, you're 1,000 steps down the road. I may be 100, okay, or 50. But what I sell or what I market, I don't sell anything. I'm an affiliate marketer. Is validity and transparency and free education and if I tell people, yeah, I'm a jaded guy, but I also, it's like, well, if other people are doing this, why can't I, you know, why can't, if Don is Papa Don's out there, let's see here. I'm already using that word. I just use a lot of old school terminology and that's what I got to work on. But if he's out doing it and this 15-year-old kid's doing it, why couldn't I? So what are they all doing? Where is the, and here comes the commercial for Legendary Marketing. I'm not being promotionally paid here, folks. It's A plus B equals C, and it's all a simple man like me wants, is I want you to just tell me. I don't want to have to go figure out if someone else tell me the truth. So right now I've changed my, you know, I used to do a lot of the stuff originally that a lot of people do, you know, I was the side hustle dude. Right. And I felt pretty confident in that name because I've done everything, man. I'm 12 years old. I've been in business my whole life. I've had several businesses. I've had hundreds.
And it's a mainstream term. That is a mainstream term now. And it is a term that people are side gig, side hustle is a mainstream term. It's not industry jargon anymore.
No, not at all. And I got that and it did get people in the door, but now I want, and so I'm borrowing from the information that I know, and you should always speak what you know. If you don't know anything about the companies that you're recommending or, you know, don't let people think that you're associated with that company or, you know, if you're giving information, I'm really careful about, I want to have a personal experience with that. Just like my affiliates that the companies that I represent, I feel very strongly about. I feel very strongly about Legendary. I feel very strongly about ClickFunnels, and I can tell people 1,000 reasons why. And I can tell them the history of that company. I can tell them about the owner of that company. And so when you have that, when you're armed with that kind of information, and you have a computer and a 40-inch screen behind you that you can just pull up, let's go online. Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was, you think it's too good to be true? Well, it's not too good to be true for me. It's not too good to be true for the gal in Peru. It's not too good to be true for Josh Smith.
Yeah. You know?
And so my job is to make them believe that they have that person inside them potentially. And what you said was just such a mouthful 5 minutes ago is, most people won't do anything with this information, but if I can get them to hope in this situation, which is this small investment, this teeny really, just even see if it's something that might be right for them, it may kick their optimism for some other part of their life that, sure, says, that lets them think, well, people, this is a real thing. People can do this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're never going to stop getting haters and people who are envious. You know, Charlie Munger talks about envy, and he's, and Buffett too, says it's the number one thing you should eliminate from your personality is envy. You know what I mean? And I mean, he refers to like a seven deadly sin, even though I think they're both agnostic, but just to kind of relate how important it is. It's like, you know, man, this envy thing is a big deal. And that's all it is. I mean, somebody says, why do they flag your accounts on any platform? It's because of envy. That's all it is. I mean, whether it's envy of the person who's sitting in a cubicle somewhere, you know, who says, I don't like this video, that it's usually user generated haters who are whatever. We don't really know, but I don't really care to know, because it's a game. And you have to learn how to play the game. It's just like Buffett and these guys are making absolutely unfair, just obscene, right, amounts of money.
Yeah.
And what good is it going to do for me to try to be envious about it or whatever? It's just a game to them. It's not even a, it's just, It's like playing chess. It's like playing checkers. I almost said poker chips, but it's not like that at all. It's like playing chess. It's a game, and you just have to strategically continue to build your I don't want to say your machine. Yeah, your digital real estate. Like you have to, and it can oftentimes be a game of whack-a-mole. Unfortunately, I mean. They're in this digital world where you're creating a free account on a platform, you know,
crazy,
like Facebook or Instagram. You didn't pay for it. So don't complain. I mean, it's just you. Okay. Yeah. You posted a bunch of videos, but if you're smart, you save all those videos and you have 50 videos that, okay, you built an account up and that account pumped lots of traffic, but the truth is that even a TikTok account doesn't do you any good if you have a million followers, if you're not continuing to publish content. So it doesn't matter if you lose the account or not. It's nailing the content. Mm-hmm. It's nailing the content. It's learning how to create a marketing message or write a marketing message, just like a comedian. It's learning to write a joke and deliver the joke and make people laugh. Well, this is learning to write an ad. And now on TikTok, that's true, right? Because we are just writing stuff right on the screen. Yeah. It's learning to write an ad and to publish that ad and to get people's attention. And it doesn't matter. This is what I think a lot of people don't understand, is that if your message works, It does not matter if you have zero followers anymore. It doesn't matter, because if the message is good and people respond to it, mm-hmm. These platforms nowadays are going to push it out to more people. And your people, follower count is not as important as just good content that gets pushed out. That, you see what I'm saying? It's not as important anymore. And I'd like you to talk about that a little bit. We're titled here 50,000 followers in 48 hours. I love and I hate these kind of examples. I love them because I'm like, this shit's crazy. Look at it. And I hate it because I'm like, it might give a false expectation to a new person that they're going to get a huge result. And when they don't, then they get disappointed. But with that disclaimer out there, tell us how the hell you did it and what's going on with it.
Well, I'll back up and I'm going to address what you just said about envy, because I'm not envious of their success, meaning I want those good things for them. But even my boy Ian, right? I'm like, well, Ian McClure, you know, he's the one that talked me into believing in this. Okay. And so it's hard not to compare your success with theirs. And I'm thrilled because, you know, I still have my contracting company. I'm doing well, still more inconsistent than I want. I'm building exactly what, and I understand that, but it's funny because I caught myself doing that. I'd go look at Amy or Phil and all these people that I really like and become friends of mine.
Sure.
And, it's like, well, how come mine is not turning at the same pin as theirs? And then I had to get rid of, in fact, Phil said it best. He said, I had to get rid of all that and I had to become a teacher. And that's my new role. I've always wanted to be a teacher. I thought it would be a fun way to live your life. So as far as the videos, I'm at that place where I want to go. One of my students, Cam, if you're on here, Cam, hi. Him and his wife have become, I feel like I've known him my whole life. We're very similar people. Similar backgrounds, you know, and he just got his first commission the other day. He just started. And so it was just like, yes, you know, so proof of concept. But I'm at the point where after the Josh Smith thing, 5-day challenge, you know, I went through that. And that just that changed my whole perspective on omnipresence. And I had to do what he did. And see outside myself and realize that these other platforms are places that I need to be for this reason. And then I see Stacy La, you know, I see Bob Hosek, you know, I see all these people on multiple platforms, and I'm watching on my, I use ConvertKit, but I also use my ClickFunnels a lot, and I go in there. Now I go in there every day, and there's just all these leads, and it's like, well, they couldn't be from TikTok. It's this giant jump, right? It's from that omnipresence, and it's from these other places, and they may not be clicking me with likes like they do on TikTok, but they're resonating with my message, and they're coming in to find out more about what I'm talking about, which is my goal, because the more people I get in the pipeline interested, if I do my job correctly, and I take away their fear enough to take a chance on this, then there's conversions there. And I'm not gonna just focus on the money, you know. And in fact, money's part of it, yeah, but if I pull that focus on the off the money and educating and telling people, I want for you what I'm experiencing, this, you know, and if you resonate with that and you answer all their questions, there's certain people that just aren't going to ever take a chance, you know, and they're never going to change. They might just like the idea of it. There's people that buy the blueprints that feel that way, that just never open them, which is crazy to me. So, by the time they get done with me, that's still there. So they have to live with themselves in 5 years. And they have to go, they'll go back on online respectfully with all these people. And I understand fear. I understand not doing things because you're scared. Yeah. And they'll look at me. I'm not going, I'm long game, man. Cam, my student said, I'm long game, man. And I've been that way my whole life. It took me 3 years to make a profit in my contracting company. Yeah. I had to work two jobs while I had my company. Okay. It took me 3 years. And that's another explanation. I should just be live the whole time, because when I try to explain to people, I'm as a business owner, you know, okay, one of my trucks, if you just take out and just to fill it up with gas is more than most of the items that you feature on the initial funnel through Legendary, you know?
Yeah.
Add to that insurance, bond, licensing, up and down the chart, and you can get into this business, and then you have payments on stuff every month, you know? If you, you business for almost nothing. And so it's your time and your ability, just like you said, exactly, to just continue to tweak things and bring your soul to that place.
Yeah.
Who you are to that digital tweak, and never lie, you know? And I found what you said is so true, that salesy stuff, it's just a turn off. I know some of these people are making gazillions of dollars, and I'd love to be there too. But when they open with, this is the 75K I made last month.
Don't always believe what you see on the internet, brother, what people are making.
Yeah, man. And you may be doing that, but don't lead with that, man. That's just too much for my brain. And that's great, you know?
Yeah.
There's people that do it really effectively, and Adam, you know him, he's all over YouTube, he's great, he's a blogger, started a few years ago, he's a waiter, and now he makes a lot of money on YouTube, and he's on the other platforms, but he's really turned it into a machine.
Yeah.
And he talks about how the importance of what we're doing on small, short form video, but the big evergreen, which is where I'm headed, is really being informational on YouTube and a blog and a blog to where they can't shut me down, really, or have a really hard time. I could say
without a doubt. And I just watched a Netflix. I want to talk to you for a moment, everybody, just segueing or really piggybacking on what you said about the long term, because you were like, well, it took me 3 years I think you have a landscaping business, don't you?
Yeah, I'm a landscape contractor. Yeah. I've done more than that, but yeah.
Okay, so it may have taken you 3 years to turn a profit, but that doesn't mean you didn't make any money that time, folks. See, this is what we don't understand, as because we're not used to being business owners. You probably still took a salary, right? I mean, it's not like you lived homeless.
To pay yourself out.
You had to pay yourself, right, people. So let's clarify. When he says that the business didn't make a profit, there's a difference between being an employee in your business and then the leftover profit at the end of the day. That's what I think, you know, that's what we really, I didn't even realize that. It was like, wait, okay, I own a business. How do I treat myself in this business, especially as it starts to grow? And it's like, well, you treat yourself, if you have a business like a landscaping business, or even if you wanted to treat yourself in this business the same way, you pay yourself, look at your salary or look at your living expenses, and you pay yourself enough to be able to live. But then the rest, you have an option to either leave it in the business, reinvest it, buy more equipment, in the case of a landscaper, buy more lawn equipment, mowers, things of that nature. So when you pull up at the job, you don't look like the guy who's, you know, this is his first job. You got some equipment in this business, because it's got such high, such low overhead and high profit margin potential. What I would recommend to everybody, right on this topic, give you something actionable right now, is look at what you need from this business, not what you want, not what you like, but what you need from this business every week, and pay yourself that. Maybe it's $250, maybe it's $100, maybe you don't need anything, I don't know. But then you take the remaining profit. You also need to set your tax money aside each month. Look right. at how much you made, figure out what tax bracket you are, put that in a separate bank account each month. Make sure you don't have a big tax bill at the end of the year. But after you've paid yourself and get a business bank account, you've moved that money into your personal account. Say it's $200. You're just getting started. It's $200. But there's $500 left over from this week. So I got $200. That was my salary or my supplemental income, but I got $500 left. This is where the magic happens. So you take that $500 and you go and open up a Vanguard index fund that just tracks the total stock market. Don't take it to an investment planner who's going to charge you 2% of your total balance, whether they make money or not. Don't put it in Bitcoin. Don't do something else stupid. Go open up a Vanguard index fund that tracks the entire stock market and just take half of that $500 and just put it away in the stock market in an index fund that you're going to let sit for the next 10 years. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe that's the best way to invest your money in the stock market, then go listen to hours and hours of annual reports and annual meetings and audios from Buffett and Munger and other people like I have.
Right.
But I can tell you that even they say, Warren Buffett says, well, what I'm going to do is donate every single dollar in profit from Berkshire Hathaway to charity. And the money that's left over from my wife, they're going to put in an index fund. So, and they're just going to leave it there for her because that's what I want done for her when I die. So that's what you do. Now, all of a sudden you got that $500, you split it in half, you put $250 into a Vanguard index fund that tracks the total stock market. This is not financial advice, by the way. You listen to me, you might end up broke. This is just what I'm doing, okay? This is just what I'm doing, not financial advice. I'm a high school dropout, okay? Not financial advice. But hey, and now you even got $250 left over inside of a damn business bank account, and your business has got a little bit of cash in it. If you wanted to buy some damn, you know, if you wanted to buy some traffic or some advertising, or you wanted to, so it's like, we got to learn how to operate inside of a business, and maybe we'll do a training on the basics and fundamentals, but there's a lot to learn, and it's not as bad as it seems like. Everybody looks at a business and they hear things like that. The business didn't make a profit for 3 years. And you start to see the things that really are good for you as like boring and not good. And right. That's why we go to retail therapy. We just say, fuck it. I don't understand it anyways. I'm just going to go shopping. I'm just going to go shopping and just spend my money because that makes me feel better.
Right.
And or just stay in our current situation, always looking for that next miracle. Well, it's kind of like the end of the movie in Dumb and Dumber, where they're walking down the highway. Anybody seen that? Jim Carrey and Jeff Dunham are walking down the highway at the end of the movie, and they're like, well, you know, what an adventure! And a bus full of bikini babes comes riding down the highway, and they open the door. They go, we are looking for two guys to rub oil on us all over the country. Would you guys be interested? And they go, you know what? Just back that way towards that town that we just came from. There's a bunch of people back there. Probably find two good guys to help you out. Right. And the girls kind of go, okay. You know? And it's like, you know, sometimes we miss the boat, right?
Well, what you said is great. And I'm glad you pulled that out of it. Cause when it really is a leap of faith and commitment. And so there's different forms of religion in the world. There's different forms of self-love, there's different, all that. I would never take away from anybody's faith in a million years.
Yeah.
But it, for me, my soul is connected to my faith. And so if I say I'm going to do this thing that not a lot of people do, and I don't care what anybody says, And I don't care what the haters say. I don't care what the circumstances are. Like I said, I didn't make a profit for 3 years. Well, like you said,
the business didn't make a profit for 3 years. You made money. You made a salary, though.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have put you can't survive 3 years on credit. But I worked other jobs when I had to. I took on more work. It's that leap of faith. And what happens with that leap of faith in those 3 years is my options got better.
Yeah.
And then you see things in the market like I do with affiliate marketing. It's like, oh man, that's what Dave was talking about. That great. It's like that little line between the lines, that little piece of meat hanging there, you know, I'm like, that's what they were talking about. Well, I've bought and sold equipment that way. You know, there's other businesses with inside your business.
Do you have, is your lawn landscaping business at a point to where if you wanted to sell it, you could sell it? Is it?
There's people that, you know, people see me at my age. I've had people because I have very enviable contracts with large.
Yeah.
But I've pared down to where I work and I haven't had to even go out because I have wonderful
people.
Yeah, a small company, but I overpay them. I pay more than the market.
That's a whole nother episode.
Problems I got. If they got problems, I got problems. Their problems aren't made up. These people say, that's my only thing. Just, I can deal with bad news, man. We can fix bad news.
Yeah.
I can help you fix it. But a lot of people don't, for obvious reasons in business, they don't trust their boss because the boss hasn't, or they don't care. We're small enough to where I know his. I've met his dad in Georgia on a Zoom call. I've met his mom that was in Arizona with a Zoom call. I know his past. I know his ups. I know his downs. My lead guy, and we're friends. And it's unusual, I know. But no matter what the news is, we can deal with it if we have the actual facts that we're dealing with. And a lot of people are scared for obvious reasons. But that leap of faith is what gets you going, and that's that mindset. People, it's become this buzzword, and all a mindset is faith that you can do something.
Right. And
if you believe you say you can't, you're not gonna. And if you believe I'm full of whatever because I'm telling you this worked for me, and you're scared because I get a lot of older people that are technically challenged. Well, you know, my mom's 92 years old, and she can. She just goes and buys, well, I'll just order an iPad and figure it out.
Good for
you know, that's the kind of person. So you get one life. What are you going to do? You're just going to roll over? Yeah. Stock markets, you know, a lot of people's pension, 401ks are gone. You know, a lot of people's pension, you know, a lot of people are getting released. You know, I had a guy come on one of my feeds the other day and, he's like, my wife just got brain cancer. I just paid for my wife's brain cancer. Then she had a back problem. And then I got a heart attack and my job of 25 years let me go. And you want to feel humbled by your reality? I don't have problems, man.
Right.
And so he's looking for something to believe in. And I'm just going to give him an option. When, I find that the less salesy I am, the more they come to me, and that's what I want them. I want them to go. I trust that dude because he tells me the truth. So I'm going to see what he says as we go.
Yeah.
And so that's all. I'm a trust builder. And the quote sale, see if it's right for you. It's a video, man. It's a video.
There's a great way to market and persuade, and it's to do exactly what you're saying. And it's what I also recognize in Warren Buffett, right? When I get obsessed with people, I really do get obsessed and I go kind of all in, full immersion. And I've done it with a couple of things over the last year or two, full immersion on watches, full immersion on, sailing, boating, fishing, full immersion now on investing, just because when you're going to do something, for me, there's no sense in doing it unless I have a chance to master it. There's no sense in doing something half-assed. Because I'm, first of all, only going to do things that I'm interested in, is number one. I'm not going to do anything that I'm not interested in. I'm just not.
Right.
Number two is, if I do, and I prove that to myself. Number two is, if I'm interested in it and I want to learn about it, I'm not going to half-ass it. Why? Well, because I want to get the maximum results out of it. If I have a lemon sitting in front of me, man, I want lemonade. Man, I'm not going to just do a gentle squeeze like it's a glass full of water. I'm going to squeeze that son of a gun until I get every last drop and then fill the rest with water, right? So I want to squeeze it and get the maximum out of it. And so I think with a lot of what you're talking about, and I had initially said, how do you become really persuasive? Well, the way that you do it is you just totally immerse yourself in the content and in the world of whatever you're doing. And this is how to get great at anything. It's just how to get great at anything.
Yeah.
You fully immerse yourself in the world. And if you fully immerse yourself in the world, meaning if you want to be great at this, come and listen to these shows every day. I promise you, after 90 days, you will be talking so much shit like it's second nature. Seriously.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. It's going out, it's teaching, but then it's not being afraid to just give somebody a call to action. And that's what I noticed in Warren Buffett. And I had originally brought him up because I said, I've been fully immersed in this and what I notice after listening and watching just hours of him talk is that, for example, you see it in the annual meeting where he's got 12,000 of his own shareholders in the room, and he and Charlie are sitting up at the front of the room, just a couple of old dudes in wheelchairs, basically. But they're just, here's Warren. He's up there. He's talking about, you know, their $5 billion investment, but he's also giving updates about how much See's candy they're selling out there in the hallway. They're like, we've broke a record. And that's a company that Berkshire owns, a See's candy. It's just a good business they own. And he's giving reports. He's like, hey, we've only got three more pallets left out there, so grab it while you can. But then he does 3 hours of just value.
Yeah.
Value. But you know what else they're selling out there in the Berkshire, you know, convention center? Boats and all the other businesses that he owns. They've got tables and things set up out there. Businessman, smart.
Yeah.
Delivers so much value and is so honest. You said honest. He's so honest. No bullshitting. No swindling. No horseshit answers.
Right.
Just always blunt facts, absolutely, truth, no bullshit. And I'm telling you, man, I'm starting to communicate like that because my wife demanded it from me.
Yeah. You know,
'cause I was this marketer 10 years ago. And then I'd always have a marketing pitch for her. And she's like, look, but Buffett, what you're saying, RJ, is not just true for you and me. It is also true for the most successful people in the world, how they operate and how they influence and persuade and become loved by many is to teach, deliver value, be honest as shit. I mean, be honest, but then not be afraid to give a call to action.
Well, that's just a mouthful, and it's exactly true. Look at Oprah, perhaps the most effective affiliate marketer in the world, seriously. And this is a quote
to her.
This is a quote from her that I'll never forget. When she started buying up TV networks, right? Own, and I mean, she's got like three of them now, and they started to do really, really well. And somebody that was interviewing her said, they said, well, how can you be so effective? They're all different niches. She's got OWN. She's got like a Dateline channel, like a mystery. All these things are proven money, you know. But she goes, well, if I'm going to do something, I might as well be the best at it, you know. And she goes, just like what you just said, this massive focus and not being afraid of letting in all the information about it, not just putting your blinders on. And I understand the importance of focus because I'm all over the board. I really have to concentrate. Yeah. But not being afraid to own that space and say, I'm a student here and I'm going to learn this. I'm going to learn from the best people. She has access to everybody with the giant brains, you know, Warren Buffett included. And Warren is, listen, I'm talking to him like I know him, like I'm going to call him tomorrow, right? Warren is peppered through all my videos. You'll see Warren quotes everywhere. And I think to add to what you said and piggyback what you said is provable honesty. So not only, you know, I'd love for you to believe me, but if you don't, I want you to be able to get done with our conversation and call BS and go, God, he's right. Why I have a big 40-inch screen here, sitting here. Yeah. I pull it up. Let's learn together, man. Let's check this out. You know,
yeah, that's why I love these interviews, because it's like, go back. I don't know what RJ said 6 months ago. Go look at what he said. It's kind of like I take the position of I'm not the magic, man. I'm just showing you the magic. And I think that's where we all need to be, because the truth is I'm not the magic. I'm a part of the magic. I'm a part of it, man. This wouldn't work without you. Like what we're doing right now wouldn't work without a guest. If I just came here, and most content doesn't, like most content, you need to bring in other people. You know what I mean? Like Oprah is a great example. Oprah did exactly what you did and exactly what I did and exactly what all of us are doing, which is she built a personal brand. Mm-hmm. She built a personal brand. That's what she did first and foremost. Was she had a TikTok channel. It just happened to be Channel 8, right? But back then, there was no TikTok. That was the only place to create content. Nowadays, everybody's got a Channel 8. Okay. So, and there's lots of Oprahs out there. There's lots of young women who are going to rise up to be as influential and as powerful in 20 years as Oprah is right now. It's just a fact, Jack.
I see it.
Okay. Yeah. But Oprah just created multiple streams within the same business. Yeah. That's all she did. She just said Oprah Winfrey Incorporated is the business. And there's the TV show, there's the magazine, there's the network, right? These are all multiple streams of income within the same business, under the same brand. And it's the same exact thing that any one of us can do, specifically with the core four, because that's mainly what she's worked with as well. Courses, coaching, and events. I mean, in free content as her strategy to bring people in. It's exactly what we do, just kind of on a larger scale and a more commercial scale.
Well, I use Wake Up Live as a lot of us are now. Amy, Phil, as because it is such a special thing. This is really a special thing, and I learned all my industry jargon from it. Right? Sometimes you guys say stuff, and what the hell? What is that? You know, I know what SEO is, but there's a few guys that have thrown it. I have had to Google it. You know. And I was like, oh, well, now I know the industry term for that, you know?
Yeah.
And nobody, like people that are new on here right now, it's like, what is short form? What is long form? What's the difference? Why do you need this? What does YouTube, they pay you for views, you know? So when you get into an industry and you start to master it, you see the areas that Oprah saw, right? Mm-hmm. And she could not get that view without climbing a pretty big mountain. So she's halfway up and she's just saw over that next mountain, right? And she's like, oh, well, that's something nobody else got to see. I had to climb this and believe in myself enough to see that opportunity. And then she has, you know, it's not accidental. This woman is purposeful. Well,
she also could get up there and see that there's other people up there that she didn't know were there. And they're kind of like, hey.
Yes.
So, well, but anyway, tell a story. I didn't want to interrupt, but I just had that thought, because I mean, you're even climbing up and it's like, I don't know really where I'm going, but then you kind of get up there and then a bunch of other people up there chilling like,
that's a great,
hey, what's up?
It's true.
You know what I mean?
Far from each other.
Because for me, it's like I'm what a lot of people don't understand while they're out buying, you know, all, you know, searching for the perfect mentor and all this kind of stuff and thinking that, you know, somebody else is going to be their savior. It's like, look, man, it's like, if you're religious, like you stated you are, you've already got a savior, man. You don't need it. You don't need somebody on this earth to do, you know, you see what I'm saying? So it's like you, and if you're agnostic or atheist, then you certainly don't believe in a savior, right? So it's like, you don't, so stop treating human beings like they're going to be your guru or your, or like your, the person who you've always been looking for. It's like a lot of it, you have to get out there and just, you know, immerse yourself in it and learn as you go and show up to the calls, like you're saying, and learn the jargon. In 90 days in, you will know so much more than you could ever imagine.
Right. About,
and then you might be saying, well, I don't feel like that yet. Well, give it another 90 days. I'm not saying 90 years. I'm right. saying most of us can't sit still and do the same thing for 90 days consistently. Mm-hmm. And we just simply complain about the results that we don't get from the work that we didn't do.
Right.
And we do that about our marriage. We do that about our business. We do that about our job. We complain about our job as if our boss or something owes us something. And that's just not how capitalism works. You know, it's not written in the fine print of capitalism or the large print that, you know, you should be overpaid or recognized to a certain degree or anything like that. It's about commerce, value, transactions. And so, you know, I think a lot of this, like with Warren's investing principles, it's just, you got to learn to cut out the noise. You got to learn to stop looking for the secrets. You got to learn to stop, you know, chasing the beautiful dragon into the alley, and then it turns around and fucking bites your head off. You know, you got to stop getting caught up with people in their private message thinking that you're going to get some inside scoop. Yeah, you're going to get an inside scoop. They're going to take a big scoop out of your wallet. You know, it's like I got to stop always looking for the shortcut and realize that work is the shortcut.
Yep.
Just doing the work is the shortcut. And within just a short period of time, and by short, I mean, you know, a couple of years for me, it's been 10 years. I have accumulated more stuff. I have made more money. I have way more than I want or need. And I'm grateful for everything that I have. But my point is that if you stop obsessing about the, you know, well, did I make a penny today? We step over dollars to pick up dimes all the time.
Yes, yes, yes.
And we look to avoid the work to find, and we work harder trying to avoid the work. It is the reason you want to get a shift in perspective. The reason why I'm focused is not because I'm any different than anybody else. It's because going the way that I do something, when I do it all in. Mm-hmm. So for me, what I've learned about myself is I've started enough shit and didn't finish it.
Right.
That now I don't even bother looking at anything. Just nothing, because I know how much work it's going to take to succeed if I wanted to do that thing. And I just know that I don't have time to pursue that right now. And what I'm doing, I've made a decision that this is the path that I'm following. And it's exhausting to chase rabbits into holes. It's just exhausting. I don't have time to do it anymore. You know, I don't have time to sit through somebody's bullshit sales pitch. I mean, I got one coming up today. It's like, I gotta sit on the phone with an investment guy who I'm probably not going to use, but he's going to tell me how much better, you know, investing in a diversified portfolio and paying his 1% fee. And it's like, look, it's like, okay, why am I doing this when I know that the best place for my money is just continuing to buy rental properties like I'm doing and stocking my money away in index funds and staying focused on cash flow in my business?
Yes.
That's what my focus needs to be, not on all these other distractions, because not only you, RJ, but me too, can go down a rabbit hole. But I got to... I think I've burned myself enough that I know I'm not going to follow through with the majority of things that I start. So why even start it? Why not just pour all of that? That was the thing that changed my marriage too. It was like for so many years, I wasn't sure that I wanted to commit. So I always had this little piece of my brain that was just like, I don't know. I don't know if I really want to commit. And you know what? It killed my ability to get all the things that I wanted, getting laid, getting paid, all that, right?
Yeah.
Because you're not going to be romantic when she senses that. And you're not going to be fully making the most money because your head's not fully in the game and you don't feel supported by your spouse. And so I was at a deficiency for years because of my own inability to just say, look, everything I have and I need is right here. Mm-hmm. And I just need to get everything out of it. I need to stop eating out of a trash can when I have T-bone steak right here at home. You see what I'm saying? And that's a metaphor, right? Mentally eating out of the garbage can with, I'm going to travel the world and spread my seed. This is a male thought. I'm just telling you real shit. But my marriage changed when I just committed and I said, look, I have everything. I don't even know the potential of this marriage. I've not even scratched because of my inability to commit, mm-hmm. not because of her. And your business is the same thing. Your business is an entity that sits there that says, I will go as hard as you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
But most of us just never commit because we always have that piece that's like, well, I don't really know if I want to commit, or maybe this rabbit hole over here, or maybe whatever. But the Bill Gates, I shared this yesterday, and then I'll give you the final thought and we'll wrap up. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates, I think Munger was there, and Buffett, we're all sitting at a table, and Gates' dad says, what's the number one thing you guys would attribute to your success? All three of them at one time immediately said, focus.
Well, God, it's hard to follow up that, but I'm going to add to it. Okay. Somebody went to my it's not on my TikTok. I put it on one of my personal accounts, and it grew legs because it resonates with so many people. Bun Phillips was a world famous football coach, right? And he said, people fail. We're all going to fail. He goes, that's perfectly fine. He goes, you only start failing when you start blaming other people for your failure. That's when you fail. I wish I could claim it as my own, but it just resonates with so many people, and make different.
Can you say that again? I just want to make sure that I heard that so clear.
There's a meme going around, and he's got all of his, football. Bun Phillips, he just said, people make mistakes all the time. He goes, continue to make them. He said, but you're only a failure is when you start blaming other people for your demise. So it just goes back on you, What are you going to do? These are obstacles, man. You get one life and it could end tomorrow. And it becomes very evident to you when you're 57 and you got people dropping. I'm in charge of, I've got all these friends for 30, 40, 50 years. I've lost several. And
I remember you saying that on the last show.
And their lesson to me is, I gotta pack these guys around with me, because I'm living for them now too, and they'd love to be here. Okay, mm-hmm. They'd love to have an argument with their wife again. Okay, they'd love to be able to have a challenge of maybe starting something new. My thing, and that hit me like a lightning bolt several weeks ago, is my job is to get people excited and to believe in their life again. That's my job. Yeah, I'm a digital marketer, affiliate marketer, whatever title you want to give me is fine,
right?
I'm the friend that's going to tell you the truth, and if you want guarantees in life, I don't know of any, man, because we're all our end.
Nobody's getting out of this son of a bitch alive, I can promise you that.
Not more.
Nobody's getting out of here alive.
About it. It's just part of our process. What did you do? And that deathbed, there's a nurse that would, and I could talk with you for 5 hours, Dave. But there's a ER nurse specialized in death, and it was on one of my TikToks, and she said, and she compiled this information for years and years and years and years, and every single person, with I mean very few exceptions, on their deathbed is, I really wish I would have taken a chance on myself and pursued the thing that I really wanted out of my life. And so my job is to say, hey, you know, I failed a ton in my life. I went to 5 different colleges and I'm not a doctor, okay? I was chasing girls. And it's just that simple. I didn't want to grow up. And so I made mistakes and I've learned from those mistakes. And if you still got a life, like the beauty of this business, I just made a talk about this. You could be handicapped. You can have, depression and things that you deal with, mentally, you know, there's a big part of that. A lot of us are struggling right now, right? If you can just get the strength to go in front of your computer and learn a few things and do a few things on your own schedule, I don't know of any other way that you could use this tool and make your life better. It's accessible. That's what I love about it, to everyone. It doesn't matter what your color is, doesn't matter what your sex is, doesn't matter what your faith is. It's accessible to you. So my job is to make them believe. And even if they don't do this, I want them to believe in themselves enough to try something. That's my job.
Well, it's a great mission and it's a great focus to have. And it is a great, also in fairly therapeutic mission that, for me, I believe being in the state of mind, in the state of heart that I am every day in this business, which is not something that a lot of us really put a lot of value on, right? It's like we complain like a son of a bitch about how toxic we feel at our job. But then when we get in our business, we don't give it enough credit for how it can make us feel, or how we do feel, like what you just said. You gave it credit, but I want to give it some credit because I realize that I haven't done that over the past 10 years a lot. But the truth is that I believe that this business has added to my life expectancy because I'm actually happy as hell every day.
Me too.
And I'm not in toxic, you know, resentment. I'm not feeling dominated or controlled by anybody. I actually believe I work in a space with my wife every day.
Yeah.
I mean, and
you too.
I'm working from home in my in actually a second home. So it's like a dream. And I get to look at, I mean, it's just, it really, I think, is going to add to my life expectancy because, you know, my, how long I live, because I could see myself sort of like I see Buffett and Munger at 91 and 96 or 8 or whatever he is sitting up on that table still working. I can see I can't see myself continuing to stand at a Walmart door or a cashier or down on my knees installing tile or any of this other stuff, but I can see myself as a crusty old man still talking shit on the internet.
Well, if they stop
motivating and teaching, you know what I mean?
If they stop talking tomorrow and stop teaching tomorrow, do you see the twinkle in Warren Buffett's eye when he talks about what he's built? It's just, it's captivating. It's humble. The money, yeah, that's become a big, that's maybe the, that's the result. But for him, if he would have made a fraction as much, he'd still be on there and be just as excited about it. And he lives in the same house that he had with his wife that he bought in the 60s. He's a philanthropist. He's a guy, my dad just died at 90, he's 94, and he had the same exact sparkle in his eye. If you don't have something that you can go to, if I never made a gazillion dollars, you know, I would do this business because of how it's it makes me feel. And the fact that I don't have a boss, I don't have, you know, some of our properties have Uber Karens at them that are really, really hard to deal with. And with all due respect, just beyond people that work on the minutia of what's not right in their life. And that complaining is a disease. And I've cut that terminology out of my vernacular because it gives it power. And all complaining is an excuse not to do something about your situation. Okay. And so when I asked my friend, I got a good friend that I've known since second grade, and he's big on, you know, excuses. And so I finally just, in a very gentle, loving way, said, well, you know, the best revenge is living well. What are you doing to make your life better? It's always about the same two people, his mom and his brother, right? Mm. And it's pretty dysfunctional situation, I'll admit.
Yeah, well, we all do have a either a dysfunction or a potential to have a dysfunctional situation, or had one in the past and learned how to set boundaries or cut people out. And I think that's being honest with people, yeah, like you're talking about, and saying what you mean and meaning what you say, and not being mean when you say it is what a gift that both therapy and my recovery and this business has really taught me how to be honest with people like you're talking about, not be afraid of the truth, not be afraid to give honest feedback. And also it's been an age thing. Both those tools with me growing older has made me be much more on purpose with even who I'm spending time around. I'm damn sure not going to spend time around somebody without being honest. I love that. And that is really what a friend is, isn't it? And it's also, if I'm going to be of service to anybody here each morning or in this community, it's by that honesty. I call it carefrontation, because I don't want to walk around confronting everybody, but it's a caring way. It's like confronting people with their own, you know, with their own stuff, just by sharing my own stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best way that I've found. And I love doing it via video, because I don't have to, like, one-on-one stuff. It's better to do it on video, to let people listen and let it sink in, rather than being in their face. And so I've even, you know, obviously it's such a great characteristic to be honest with people and to do it in a caring way. You might be the only friend in their world who's doing that.
Yes.
And you also might be the only person in their world, RJ, you might be the only person in a lot of your audience and followers' world who's being honest with them the way that you be honest as well. Never underestimate that. We can't either. The impact that we just have in our followers' lives.
If I don't care about someone, if someone has shown me over and over that they want to be frustrated, but I love them anyways, let's say they're my family members or people that are close to me, and I see something that's a pattern in their life, and I expect it from them to me too. If you really love me as a friend, as a partner, whatever, and you see me suffering all the time, it's your obligation, I feel, to gently have that. It's not easy to have those conversations, but if you love them, you're willing to have that, and then they can do what they want with it. I have a friend that's dying because he has a real addiction to food, you know, and his hips are going, his everything's going. All of us love him. He's the most magnanimous, wonderful person you'll ever meet. He has this addiction to food that you're, and his prognosis is horrible, and we're all fighting with it right now. And we've all told him. But the only way I can function now, if something, God forbid, you know, does happen with him, is I put the bat out there and I took a swing at it because I love that person and I had that difficult conversation. And so now he knows where I'm at. We've tried to get him help. You can only lead a horse to water kind of thing. And so if I don't care about somebody at all, I'm not going to say anything. You know, if there's people that are divisive or mean, or that's part of they're just not ready to hear it yet. Yeah. If I really care about, and I want to convey that to the people that are on here, because I hear people about, like, that guy with his cancer story, his wife and all these things. you know, that guy's looking for a ray of sunshine, a ray of hope. If I can give him just a little bit of hope, it doesn't have to be with Legendary or ClickFunnels or me. He may take that hope and start, you know, building something out of his garage that he's always wanted to build or and sell, you know, or
let me share a similar story. And then we really will wrap up, but it's not a long one.
That's okay. I'll shut my mouth.
It's not a long story. It's just one day I was in at an event we were hosting. This was a long time ago, back in maybe 2013 or so. I was hosting an event, and this was before Legendary. I was doing courses, coaching, and events back then as well. But there was a guy, we were in an event, and a guy stood up and totally blindsided me, man. Said, you know, he was sharing, and he said, look, I was driving down the road, and I worked at a hospital, was on my way with a bag full of medication, and I was going to go home, and I was going to, I was going to end it all.
Yeah. A lot of
people. And he said, I got a flat tire. And as I was sitting there waiting for help to arrive, I put in an audio of you. He was speaking to me. And he said in that audio, something that you said made me decide that I didn't want to go home and do that. And today, you know, I stand here in front of you with X result, X result, X result. And of course, I'm here to share. And that hasn't happened a lot of times. You know what I mean? That impactful, or I guess serious of a situation. But I mean, I've had a lot of, well, that's inspiring, and you know, I've heard a lot of things, but that was really, really a powerful one to hear. And so we never know, man, how what we say and what we do is going to impact somebody. And as human beings who communicate with each other through words, through body language, through looks, a nod, genuinely wanting to help somebody, genuinely wanting to produce some content because you think it will be helpful. Sure, you'll give a call to action at the end, but you're not doing it because you think that one video is going to make you rich. It's just a contribution to the value that you're delivering to people because you want to do it. You know, you want to genuinely help people. And I think for me, the results of that strategy, the results of what we're talking about, this whole episode has been about, which is really ultimately how you gained all these followers in 48 hours, and you've lost accounts, you built them back. You're building the business, because the business is not an account for you. The business is your message. The business is, you have lots of pieces of digital real estate. The business is your email address, all these things. But ultimately, the business is your message, who you are, your brand, and the fact that people are moved and impacted by what you're doing and what you're saying, and that it's not just a bait and switch. It's not just a, hey, here's some shitty video that I hope you click, right, and I hope you buy, and why aren't people buying? You know, that is not how any commerce works. And we see it. We see it in the group. It's like, I've, you know, people are clicking my link, but they're not buying. Right. You know, and it's like, well, you, people don't just, you know, it takes a certain amount of effort and contribution. And also, I have to, I have a selfless and a selfish meter. If my selfish meter is all the way up and my selfless meter is all the way down, I'm not going to make shit. I'm not going to make any money.
They hear that bullshit. We all have our whole life, we're a walking lie detector, like in Meet the Fockers, man. And when you hear that,
Robert De Niro,
when you hear bullshit, right? And I when I was conveying stuff, when I first started making, I thought, well, I would say things that were true, but I didn't experience them. So I felt like I was bullshit, that imposter syndrome, all that. So it's like, I'm going to talk about the stuff I really, really know. And I'm going to convey my heart to their heart, and then they can make a decision. And if they can come back later, and I'm going to say the same messages, and I'm going to say them honestly and clearly, and we all hear it when you hear. And some of these kids I know are making a gazillion dollars, you know, but I get on there and my stomach just turns. Just like, dude.
Well, there's a power in them hearing a consistent message, and I hope that's what Wake Up Legendary is, because you might be entertained by the antics or think that I'm being authentic, and that's fine. I'm just being myself, whatever the comments are. But the truth is, what we're teaching here is basic principles. It's really solid foundational stuff that works in pretty much any industry. We're not even getting into the specifics, at least not in this conversation.
Right.
And so it's these are timeless principles, and they work. I've said this on other shows. What we're talking about today with just really trying to care about people and to really pour value into them while not being afraid to give a call to action is the same skill sets. And it's really communication skills and people skills is really what it is. And Warren Buffett said that you can increase college students and people. How many times do you think he's been asked, what's the best stock to pick? His answer to that is, the best investment you can make is in yourself. And if you simply improve your communication skills, you can increase the money that you bring in 50% just by, and he's talking to college kids. So just by focusing on communication. So while everybody's looking for the magic button, and some of us have looked for that for 15, 20 years. I know people in this industry who have been buying, you know, make money quick, you know, systems and all this bullshit for 20 years and all this stuff, get rich quick. Where's the easy button? But, man, it's sticking to the basics. It's sticking to the basics and not leaving them. And that is what's hard. It's not hard to be a successful entrepreneur. It's not hard to do what I do every day. The reason why people can't do it is because they're not willing to do it consistently. And if you look at these episodes, you go back to look at the very first one in March of 2020. And I know that's when we started, because that's when, you know, the world was going crazy. And I, my decision was, gotta go. And not when this is another Warren Buffett thing. When everybody is afraid, be bold.
Yes.
Okay. So everybody was freaking out, and my move, and these are the big levers that matter in your business. All this other shit that you do, 99% of the stuff doesn't matter. The big decision. So in March of 2020, we were doing a daily show, but I wasn't active in it. And so I said, I'm going to be active in it, because nobody's doing that. Nobody's got their guy, you know, the guru, whoever, the all-knowing one who you're paying $50,000 to touch the thread of his robe. He ain't getting out and talking shit every day. He's hiding somewhere. So I said, let me get out there and talk shit and just teach and just tell stories every fucking day to let them see a years of me talking. And at first I didn't think that I didn't look that far into the future, but here we are 2.5 years later. And it's not that this show is great or anything like that. It's great, but it's great because it's been going for so long. Mm-hmm. That's what's great about it. It's great that there's a history. It's great that it's something that you can look back on. What's great about Berkshire Hathaway is you can open up their annual report and read it, and you can see 30 years of investment results and how he's beat the market with, you know, 30% compounds versus 10% annual compound. I mean, but how did he do that? The same way that I've done it, the same way that anybody else is successful, like Oprah, is over time, the same way that interest compounds. And it does. Go Google investment calculator and put in the 250 that I said earlier times 10%. You're going to contribute that every month and see what that number is at the end of 20 years with 10% compounding interest. It's insane, because the phenomenon of compounding. Now, success is the same way. success in business is the same way. The phenomenon of compound, the compounding phenomenon happens the same way in business. Whereas you do something long enough, it begins to compound and pick up momentum.
Yeah.
And it's something that no one can, you can't explain it. It's hard to tell people. I'm telling all of you right now that it happens, but it's hard for you to even see it because hindsight's always 20/20. It's hard for us to look into the future and imagine or trust or any, we can only understand what's right in front of us. But look at what others have done with that simple rule of consistency and simplicity. Mm-hmm. Look at what others have produced. Warren Buffett bought his first stock at 11 years old. The reason why he has a net worth of $60 billion is not or whatever it is not because he's a brilliant investor. It's because he's been more patient. It's because he's not. Charlie said there's three things that an investor needs. I can't remember the first two. They're very basic. But the last one is rationale. You have to have rationale because when the market dips, you can't freak out and sell. You have to hold for the long term. So the same thing that happens in a business when, oh, I lose an account or a video doesn't go viral or whatever, something bad happens. It's the same thing with an investor. Same thing with Warren. If he would have sold, he'd be another Tom, Dick, or Harry living in a basic neighborhood in Omaha, Nebraska, not the Oracle of Omaha. But because he used the basic principle of let's not make a decision today to quit. Let's put that off to tomorrow and let's just ride this one out.
Yeah. Right?
Let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, what we've been doing. Let's just keep doing it. Let's ride it out. Let's have faith. And guess what? In 2022, he's 91 years old, got more money than God himself. And, you know, and he's honest about it. He can be honest about it because there's no tricks.
No.
So.
Well, I know we're wrapping up here. I saw the screen here. I've got a couple. I've got a backup account, which is my side dot hustle dot dude. My main account, I changed the name. It's Learn and Earn with RJ on TikTok. If you guys want to hit me up there,
Learn and Earn with RJ. I think we had some people try to get that, and
it didn't. Well, I'm currently dealing with TikTok, so I've got few accounts. That one's got about 56,000 on it, and I think this one's got a few thousand, but I'll be back on. You'll see me. You can't get rid of me. I'm going to be omnipresent. If you don't see me on TikTok, I'll be on Facebook Reels. So
all right, man. Well, hey, we'll hopefully have you back on the show here in a very short period of time. I love talking to you, but I gotta make sure I don't schedule anything within an hour and a half, because for Christmas sakes, we sit here and talk for
absolutely.
It's unbelievable. We've been doing this for 90 minutes. It feels like 9 minutes. So, hey, take care, brother. Get on out of here. Thanks,
everybody.
All right, man. See you, RJ. All right, my friends. I have to prep for this call. Oh, Lordy. Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. People are fun. Hey, this game is simple. It really is. We've just laid the damn game out for you right now. Give you so much game in 90 minutes. It's unbelievable. Hit RJ up, PayPal him 20-30 bucks for that session, because it was well worth a nice tip. But you know what? RJ doesn't need you to give him 20-30 bucks, because that's the name of the game. It's about delivering value, making an investment. That investment will come back tenfold. It will come back tenfold. So a lot of game today that was laid out. Take it, deploy it, implement it, use it. Really appreciate each one of you, and not because you're buying stuff from us or even hanging out, because of who you are, because who you are. I like to have friends, and a lot of you have become great friends of mine, are people that I see your names here every day. And I love it. I've met a lot of you. Sarah Valentine, somebody who I just met at the recent mastermind, and her father, tell your father I said hello. And lots of other folks, who I either have met or am going to meet. Kurt, I see Kurt here on all the time. I just wanted to give you all a special shout out and just let you know that you're seen and you're appreciated, and this stuff is all for you. Use it, because I know it's free. The show is free, right? So sometimes when we don't pay attention, but this stuff, man, is like really just just the good shit. It's the good shit. And it's such a difficult thing to avoid these shiny objects and these people who try to, you know, they try to look all successful on social media and try to like lure you in. And it's just like, you know what, man, just stick to the basics, just stick to the principles and play the long game. And this will work out way better than you could ever imagine trying to find some shortcut. So anyways, Jarius, good to see you too, man. Another guy that I've met at the events and or our mastermind. And hey, man, just appreciate all of you. So have a great weekend. I think it's Friday, right? It's Friday. So we'll see you back here on Monday for another episode. We'll have another great guest on Monday. And yeah, remember, we're going to be coming out with some more announcements about and some more. We're all going to be getting awards and maybe even some spots in some upcoming magazines. Who knows? We don't want to jinx ourselves, but there's a lot of cool things that people are starting to pick up on. Legendary Marketer was the 63rd fastest growing company, privately held education company in America last year. 63rd fastest privately held by the Inc. 5000. We were part of the Inc. 5000 fastest growing privately held companies. So, you know, we're of course going to continue to talk about that and remind everybody that this is not a trend. This is the way that the market is moving. And, you know, I was here 10 years ago and a lot of people work from home and all those terms were taboo. It was like, you know, what do you mean? But what happened in 2020 and 2021 changed everything. And now people want to be home. They want to stay home. They're used to watching content on the internet, people going live, hanging out on social media. So you combine this new way that we're doing business and we want to learn and we want to shop, and you combine it with these timeless principles that we're talking about almost every day here on the show. And you don't need to chase snakes down a hole anymore. You don't need to be curious. And I even laid out just really simple, my kind of way in which I view investing today, not investment advice, of course, but the way in I view investing. It's all boils down to simplicity. And if you can't understand it or explain it, don't do it. And if somebody can't explain it to you in simple terms, don't do it. You know what I mean? Don't even waste your time on it. All right. Don't even waste your time on it. Just stay focused on the simple stuff that you can see that works, you know, that works, and magical outcomes and magical things are, it's like living for the lotto and never hit it. You know what I mean? I think Outkast, the rap group, said that living for the lotto, never hit it. And it's like, it's true. A lot of people live for the lotto in everything they do. They just want to hit that jackpot. And when they don't, it's like, oh, it's such a disappointment, or it must be a scammer. There must be something wrong with me. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just looking for like the jackpot, that easy button. And if you would just transition just a little bit to just committing to be here for the long term with your business and your brand, not at Legendary, your brand, right? Your business and your brand. You commit to that to the long term and say, I'm going to be here for the next year, whether I make a dime or not, because I'm just going to go out and build my brand and build my reputation and build my audience. You will, I think you'll be surprised by the results. I can't promise any results. And quite frankly, I don't want to. I mean, there's enough stuff that's happening around us. I don't need to make a bunch of big hoopla and say, oh, this is going to happen for sure. Because honestly, I don't know that that's going to happen for sure for you. But my experience is that 99% of people can't follow through and do something consistently for 90 days. That's just my experience. So that's the first hurdle, is actually commit to something and do something. And 90 days is not going to do it. I'm just using that as an example. I usually ask people, how long are you willing to commit to building your business before you quit or decide to do something different? How many months? How many days? How long are you willing to commit to building your business, sustained, focused on exactly what you're doing right now before you decide to quit or get distracted and do something else? How long are you willing to commit to just that? That's a hard question to ask or answer, you know, is how long am I willing to commit before I quit or deviate? Well, a year is what I would suggest. And you might say, well, you mean What am I doing? Well, no, if you want to create multiple streams of traffic, multiple streams of income, all fine. You can create multiple streams of income from the same business, right? We teach all of that inside of the blueprints with the fishing formula, okay? As a matter of fact, a lot of you, if you can go back, I just updated the day 5 business plan class in the challenge. Go through and watch that again. There's a lot of great information right in that day 5 class about how to create multiple streams of income within the same business. But I want to leave you with that question. RJ dropped so much value, and this was an incredible long episode. And how long are you willing to commit to this before quitting or deviating to do something else? And that's an important question and something for you to think about, because unless you commit to something for the long term, no investment strategy is going to work for the short term. No business strategy is going to work for the short term. I mean, you might make a buck or two, but it's not going to bring the results that it could, the big compounding results that it could, unless you do it for an extended period of time. That's anything. That's a relationship. That's anything. So, you know, sure, you might make a quick cash grab here and there, and you can do that anyways. I mean, if there's a bag to grab, you grab the bag, fine. But how long are you willing to commit to this before you quit or deviate is an important question to ask. And so many other nuggets. Go back, listen to this episode again if you can throughout the weekend. We'll see you back here for another episode and on another episode on Monday. Get out of here.